Hi, Dave Emery here. This is Side 2, for the record, program number 786, The Adventures of Eddie the Friendly Spook, Part 16, The Obverse Oswald. So this is a summary analysis of all of our works on Eddie the Friendly Spook. This has been recorded on April 6th of the year 2014. In Side 1, we were looking at the Adventures of the Obverse Oswald as a psyop intended to generate gravitas and impetus to the Brazilian and German ramping up of their IT industry, basically an underground Reich economic warfare incentive. I would note in that regard in passing that in For the Record 769, we took a look at an article that discussed how the Republican insistence on reducing government funding for scientific research would ultimately hurt the U.S. badly, and in particular would hurt the American internet and high-tech business, much of whose most important development has taken place as a direct outgrowth of government funding. So, and one of the things that we noted at the end of 769 was how Eddie the Friendly Spook, the Obverse Oswald, and the Republican Party, in particular the Libertarian shutdown faction of the Republican Party, were basically part and parcel to one another. One cannot separate the Palestinian Libertarian Organization, as I called it, from Snowden. Not only is Snowden a devotee of Ron Paul, the Snowden family attorney Bruce Fein was Ron Paul's top legal advisor in his 2012 campaign. WikiLeaks' Julian Assange is also a big fan of Ron Paul. And when you take a look at Ron Paul, you come to the Ludwig von Mises Institute. When you look behind Eddie the Friendly Spook, this advocate for human freedom and dignity and privacy, blah, 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 you come across people who believe in slavery. I mean, literally believe in slavery. And in that regard, very few people, very few commentators are willing to tell it like it is. In this regard, before we get back directly to Eddie the Friendly Spook, I'd like to read an excerpt of an article from the Courthouse News Service of March 28th of 2014. This is an article by Robert Kahn titled Weak Fascism. It reads in part, Republicans are living down to their self-proclaimed role as the party of ideas. What they have been proposing for years is a form of weak fascism, not one in which the corporations are put in harness to strengthen the government, but one in which the government is shackled to the power of corporations. Fascism, Webster's second edition tells us, is, quote, a system of government characterized by rigid one-party dictatorship, forcible suppression of the opposition, unions, other especially leftist parties, minority groups, etc., the retention of private ownership of the means of production under centralized government control, belligerent nationalism and racism, glorification of war, etc., first instituted in Italy in 1922. The only difference between that's a quote from Webster's, and Robert Kahn goes on to comment, the only difference between Mussolini's fascism and Republican fascism is the four words under centralized government control. Yet, if private corporations control or can dictate to the government, that is a distinction without a difference. Mussolini harness the corporations to the state. Republicans would harness the state to the corporations. They claim they want to free the corporations from the shackles of government. Skipping down. Local control, states' rights in voting, racial policies, science, unquote, and religious curriculum in public schools, what women should be allowed to do, and so on, is, of course, a banner cause of the so-called Tea Party, the Republican fascists. Modern American fascism, then, has just one essential difference from Italian or German fascism of the bloody 20th century: whether the controls should be exerted by government or by corporations. Tea Party Republicans are squarely on the side of the corporations, and this is a place where Republican fascism and libertarians meet. And again, those are the forces in the background, really in the foreground, of Eddie the Friendly Spook, who wants to get rid of Social Security, bring back the gold standard, who was holding forth on the internet about how the elderly would have to get off their A blank blanks if we would stop sending them those effing checks, and so on and so forth. Again, I have to attenuate it for radio purposes. That is where Eddie the Friendly Spook is coming from. And when you look at the forces behind him, they are the forces described by Robert Kahn. And for the record, 762, I noted something we've all already spoken about in the context of the subversion of Obama's proposed reboot with Russia. Boy, is that dead now. And note the elements of overlap between the $5 billion that were pumped into the Ukraine as part of the covert operation, which helped to bring the OUNB heirs to power in a fascist coup, and the adventures of Eddie the Friendly Spook. You've got Pierre Omidyar, who's bankrolling Glenn Greenwald, helping to finance that, and the same Swedish neo-Nazi group to which, a neo-Nazi milieu, to which Carl Lundstrom, the financier of the PRQ servers on which WikiLeaks was holding forth, they are decamping to the Ukraine to lend support for the Pravi sector and Svoboda fascists. Note the following. There was an article that was basically a leak that was carried in both the New York Times, again, courtesy of Eddie the Friendly Spook, of the Obverse Oswald. It was carried in both Der Spiegel in Germany and in the New York Times at about the same time, and it concerned the NSA penetrating the Huawei, I'm not sure how that's pronounced, capital H-U-A-W-E-I, telecom giant in China. Yahoo News of February 23rd has a Reuters story about that titled, NSA Infiltrates Servers of China Telecom Giant Huawei Report. Note the timing on this. Again, bear in mind that WikiLeaks, basically, and the Snowden operation are one and the same thing. WikiLeaks got Snowden to China just before Obama was going to meet with President Xi, and Greenwald leaked articles about NSA spying on Chinese telecoms and internet, thereby damaging that relationship. Then just before Obama goes to Europe, Greenwald publishes disclosures about NSA spying on Germany. Then WikiLeaks, who got Snowden from Hawaii to China, gets him from China into Russia, where the WikiLeaks operations are handled by Joran Jermas, Julian Assange's Holocaust-denying right-hand man. And that helped to damage the now dead relations between the U.S. and Russia. Note the timing of this publication by the New York Times and Der Spiegel. Note that the article comes from the information in part comes from Laura Poitras, who, along with Sarah Harrison, along with Jacob Applebaum, along with Peter Sunday, is in Germany. Excerpting here. The Times and Der Spiegel articles were published just days before Chinese President Xi Jinping visits Europe and will hold talks with German Chancellor Angela Merkel herself, a target of electronic surveillance by the NSA. They also were published during U.S. First Lady Michelle Obama's visit to China. Very, very interesting timing indeed. And I don't think that is coincidental at all. I think this is an op. No, I don't think. I know this is an op. And if you think that was just a coincidence, well, I tell you what. I've got a great deal for you on the Brooklyn Bridge, and also a really, really hot insider deal on some prime real estate in the Florida Everglades. However, you can only pay in bitcoins, okay? Another interesting thing about the leaks here, and that is that the leaks on NSA and GCHQ spying, again, which is standard operating procedure for every major intelligence service on Earth. This has been known for a long time. The damn European Telecommunications Standards Institute works with European governments and tech companies to make sure that their communication systems have backdoors so that the governments can spy on people, okay? That's how institutionalized this kind of thing is, and that is how hypocritical all of this caterwauling coming out of Europe and elsewhere and from the so-called liberal sector in this country. Indeed, the intellectuals have been tamed, and as Hitler advised, they have been taken to the fields and hitched to the racehorses. An article from Der Spiegel from March 29th of 2014 by Laura Potras, Marcel Rosenbach, and Holger Stark. Again, note where Laura Potras is holed up these days. It's called A for Angela. GCHQ and NSA targeted private German companies and Merkel. And note what the these companies were involved with. It reads in part, the headquarters of Stellar, a company based in the town of Hürth, H-U-R-T-H, near Cologne, are visible from a distance. 75 white antennas dominate the landscape, and talks about the size of them. Stellar operates a satellite ground station in Hürth, a so-called teleport. Its services are used by companies and institutions. Stellar's companies include internet providers, telecommunications companies, and even a few governments. And it also talks about some other competitor companies of that. And it says that they can provide, they can provide internet and telephone services in even the most remote areas. They provide communications links to places like oil drilling platforms, diamond mines, refugee camps, and foreign outposts of multinational corporations and international organizations. According to Satel NEO Guido Neumann, the company primarily serves customers in Africa and the Middle East, and its clients include non-governmental organizations, as well as a northern European country, parenthetically not identified, that uses Satel to connect its diplomatic outposts to the internet. But when you're talking about things like oil drilling platforms, diamond mines, refugee camps, foreign outposts of multinational corporations and NGOs, you're talking about things that either could be targets, such as oil drilling platforms, or involved with the staging of, again, oil drilling platforms potentially, or diamond mines used to finance terrorist operations, refugee camps, are a common recruiting place for terrorist operations. There's a good book called Blood Diamonds about the use of diamonds from Africa to help finance various terrorist organizations, including Al-Qaeda. And I would note here that compromising the spying on things like this could very easily help to facilitate terror operations, and we are. This may very well come home to haunt us at some point in the future. I would note that the media are absolutely playing ostrich at this point with regard to the disappearance of Malaysian Air 370. We haven't got time to go into that. That's the plane, of course, that disappeared after taking off from Malaysia. There is a post about this in the news and supplemental section of the SpitfireList.com website. Very long story, made very short. The pilot of the plane that disappeared was a very close follower of one of the founders of Anwar Ibrahim, one of the founders of the International Institute of Islamic Thought. He is a Malaysian Muslim brother. The IIIT was one of the organizations that was raided in the March 20th, 2002 Operation Green Quest raids. Anwar Ibrahim is part of the political milieu of Grover Norquist and the Islamic Institute. It also has employed people used by Al-Qaeda. And I would note that the day that the plane disappeared was the day that Anwar Ibrahim had a sentence for sodomy reinstated, just a number of hours before that plane, piloted by one of his devotees, disappeared. And in-flight computers and other technologies were apparently interfered with from within the cockpit before the plane changed course. The point being that when people fail to take stock of the Operation Green Quest and the many evidentiary tributaries running in the direction of the very Republican Party and Underground Reich that lies in the background of organizations like the Muslim Brotherhood, the IIIT, Al-Qaeda, Hamas, and others, people have made a huge mistake. And I'm not saying necessarily that the NSA or GCHQ will be up to preventing the next act, but things like oil drilling platforms, diamond mines, refugee camps, and so forth, these are legitimate targets for counter-terror spying. And one has to wonder if perhaps the breaking of this story was intended to facilitate future terror acts by the Underground Reich. One of the things that I noted in, for the record, 774, and again in 776, that the, quote, privacy advocates, unquote, really are epitomized. The Hitler phrase, first tame the intellectuals, then take them to the field and hitch them to your racehorses. So-called privacy advocates have really been tamed and hitched to the racehorses. People who are genuinely concerned with privacy should be far more concerned with what these large internet corporations are doing, because the NSA, again, doesn't give a flip whether you break wind in your cubicle at work. In fact, the average citizen has more to fear from getting struck by lightning as suffering at the hands of the NSA, who couldn't really, frankly, care less about the turgid circumstances of their insignificant little lives. The tech companies, however, who have been so enthusiastically and unqualifiedly embraced by the general public, they are deeply concerned with the intimate details of their turgid little lives. And in fact, the acquisition of those details, the databasing of those details, the utilization of those details, and the sale of those details to some of their vendors, they are arguably, aside from the software that these companies have, the single greatest capital asset that they have. I'm not going to read this article into the record due to the limitations of time, but another excellent article by Mark Ames from the Pando Daily of March 22nd of 2014 is a follow-up to his Tectopus article that we read into the record in, for the record, 774. This post is called Revealed: Apple and Google's Wage-Fixing Cartel Involved Dozens More Companies and Over 1 Million Employees. And again, this alludes to all of these wonderful, benign companies who are complaining so horribly about the, quote, disclosures, unquote, by Eddie the Friendly Spook. They were engaged in a wholesale, far-ranging, basically a conspiracy to hold down the wages of their employees. And what this story talks about is the fact that that conspiracy went much, much, much further than the public had been led to believe. And many other corporations were involved with this, just about everybody, including PayPal, Apple, Intel, Genentech, Comcast. They were all involved with this, including all these wonderful do no evil, think different, blah, blah, blah companies who are supposedly so shocked by the disclosures of Eddie the Friendly Spook. One of the things that I found at one level amusing and at another level utterly disgusting was Mark Zuckerberg's taking of Obama to task for not doing more to protect Americans' privacy. And this, in turn, in the context of the damage done to American high tech by the, quote, disclosures, unquote, of the obverse Oswald, Eddie the Friendly Spook. Again, this is a psyop, And it's not that Brazil and Germany are ramping up their IT industry in response to the Snowden PSYOP, but rather the actions of the obverse Oswald are intended to generate publicity for and gravitas for the predetermined, the obviously long predetermined ramping up of German and Brazilian IT industry. I suspect, too, that Germany was also attempting to hold the NSA and GCHQ hostage and to gain access to the Five Eyes spy network. They were unable to do that, so now they attack. They engage in economic and psychological warfare. Again, the Snowden PSYOP, the PSYOP of the obverse Oswald, is psychological warfare intended to generate gravitas for the economic warfare being conducted against U.S. high-tech business. If U.S. high-tech business was really concerned, what they should do is fight back and point out, for example, that the European Telecommunications Standards Institute mandates the installation of backdoors so that European intelligence services can do exactly the same goddamn thing, which really has been known for some time. There's an old saying that the best defense is a good offense. They should use that good defense, the best defense being a good offense, and simply point out, hey, Europe does the same thing, so there's no reason for you to shun our business. But back to wonderful Mark Zuckerberg. He was complaining that Obama was not doing enough to protect Americans' privacy and that this was damaging American internet business. Well, first of all, again, the things that Obama has been saddled with were either done by George W. Bush or had been instituted long before. And again, what the NSA and GCHQ are doing is literally standard operating procedure for every major intelligence service on Earth. But for Mark Zuckerberg, whose Facebook firm I talked about in For the Record 718, I called it In Your Facebook, a virtual panopticon, for him to complain that President Obama has not done enough to protect Americans' privacy is just stunning, because Mark Zuckerberg has probably done more than any human being in the history of humanity to compromise more people's privacy than anyone. Again, that's redundant, but he has done more compromising of individuals' privacy than anyone. There are some 3 million Facebook users worldwide who are children under the age of 10. Something like 75% of all American teenagers use social networking. These kids do not realize what they are doing, and the fact that these corporations are avidly gathering up all of the information they can to be utilized as a major capital asset, and the damage that could be done to these kids, and I'm sure in many cases will be done, is beyond their understanding. It really is not all that far removed from and could perhaps be considered a type of human trafficking. So again, it makes me want to puke, frankly, to see Zuckerberg complaining that President Obama hasn't done enough to protect people's privacy. This from the person who has done more to compromise people's privacy than anyone in the history of our species. Again, sickening. I would also note that the largest stockholder in Facebook is none other than Peter Thiel, who is also the largest stockholder in Palantir, the company that, its disclaimers to the contrary notwithstanding, developed the Prism software that is at the very core of the Snowden, quote, disclosures, unquote. And again, Peter Thiel is also the major capitalizer of Ron Paul's political campaign and the Palestinian Libertarian Organization, the Obverse Oswald, Eddie the Friendly Spook, and WikiLeaks are inextricably linked. So never lose sight of that. And I'm going to wrap things up by reminding people of, again, Citizen Greenwald's work as a Nazi fellow traveler. Before he became a journalist, he was an attorney, and he devoted much of his time to serving some of the most murderous Nazi groups and doing that work pro bono. One of those groups was the National Alliance. More about that in a second. How did Adolf Hitler plan on destroying New York. This is from Jihad and Jew Hatred, Islamism, Nazism, and the Roots of 9-1-1 by Matthias Kunzel. Not only Hitler's fantasy, and Hitler regaled his followers with tales of New York's skyscrapers collapsing and pillars of flame, not only Hitler's fantasy, but also his plan for realizing it. Recall what happened in 2001. The idea was for kamikaze pilots to fly explosive crammed light aircraft lacking landing gear into the Manhattan skyscrapers. The drawings for the Daimler-Benz America bomber actually exist. They show giant four-engine planes with raised underbellies beneath which small bombers could be strapped. The bombers were to be released shortly before the plane reached the East Coast, after which the mother plane would return to Europe. And I would note that in 1998, William Luther Pierce, the head of the National Alliance, directly foreshadowed the September 11th attacks. And the National Alliance was represented by Citizen Greenwald, currently holding forth from Brazil. And again, this is in 1998 and 1999. William Luther Pierce, the head of Glenn Greenwald's Nazi client, the National Alliance, had the following to say. This is from Neo-Nazis and 9-1-1 by Jack McCarthy from Counterpunch of October 29th of 2001. In one chilling commentary, Pierce, after noting that bin Laden and the rest of the lost generation of angry Muslim youth had had it with their parents' compromises and were hell-bent on revenge against infidel America, issued this stark prophetic warning in a 1998 radio address titled, "Stay Out of Tall Buildings," unquote. New Yorkers who work in tall office buildings anything close to the size of the World Trade Center might consider wearing hard hats, Pierce warned. Again, this in the 90s, late 90s. Obviously, he had a pretty good idea what was going to happen. I've also noted that in the Turner Diaries, also put out by Glenn Greenwald's Nazi client, the National Alliance, the climactic episode is a low-level suicide aerial attack on the Pentagon, which takes place on the German Day of Destiny of November 9th. A German or any other European would write that as 9/11. And in both the Turner Diaries and Serpent's Walk, also put out by the National Alliance, Glenn Greenwald's Nazi client, the U.S. is taken over by the Underground Reich, by Nazis, after the country is destroyed using terrorist attacks employing weapons of mass destruction. Now, I do not know whether the NSA and the GCHQ are up to the task of preventing such a thing. I would note that the National Alliance's books are intended as teaching tools. I do know that neither the ACLU nor the goddamn New York Times are up to preventing this. We had better hope that NSA and GCHQ can prevent it. We will see. Well, that concludes the last episode of The Adventures of Eddie the Friendly Spook, boys and girls, your favorite cartoon character. Remember, Eddie's not like those other spooks. They're scary and mean. Eddie is your friend. This wraps up Side 2 of For the Record 786. The Obverse are The Adventures of Eddie the Friendly Spook, Part 16. The Obverse Oswald, being recorded on April 6th of 2014. I'm Dave Emery. Ciao.